February, on Thursday, February 13th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater. Black February chronicles a series of concerts celebrating the work of the jazz composer Lawrence D. Butch Morris. Morris is known as the inventor of conduction, a spontaneous jazz form. The film concert footage spans funk to symphonic works, providing insight into New York's avant-garde music scene. Again, that's Black February, on Thursday, February 13th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kabu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
I'm a river hugger. KABU Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the third annual Valentine's Dip, Saturday, February 15th at 10 a.m. at the Willamette Park Boat Ramp. Participants who jump in the river receive entry into the Big Float 10. This event is brought to you by the Human Access Project, a volunteer nonprofit dedicated to transforming Portland's relationship with the Willamette River. Again, that's the third annual Valentine's Dip, Saturday, February 15th at 10 a.m. at the Willamette Park Boat Ramp on the west side of the river, 6500 Southwest Macadam Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at humanaccessproject.com and kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Calculated Conversation Radio Show.
Yes.
In the house.
We've made it.
On air. Tuesday to y'all.
Direct. Not live, but direct.
Yeah, direct. So we happy to be here. It's good vibes, mm-hmm. Good energy, surrounded by positivity.
Yes. Great conversations on the way into the station.
Yes, yes. Having conversations with other show hosts in here,
yeah,
has further enlightened our awareness of other people.
And shout out Charlisa.
Shadowbox, that is.
Yes, yes, yes.
And Shadowbox is her name. She is a beautician, I believe.
Yes.
Has her own shop. On 209. Oh, wait. Oh, I hope she don't hear this. But yeah, great conversations with her and her crew. So we back, and how's it going, brother?
Oh, well, right quick, who are you?
Oh, my name is they call me David Jefferson.
Yes.
And I'm one of the host of Calculated Conversation. I'm one half, and the other half is
Cam Jones, right here. Talking to your ear.
Yes, yes.
How you been, though, man?
Good, good, good. I think I saw one of your social media accounts say Jan Cones. Was that intentional?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that's what I did on the gram.
Oh, okay. That was cool, man. That was a nice little twist. Yeah. I was like, oh, that's kind of tight.
A little play on it.
That could be a real, you know, that's like a, you know, that could be somebody.
That's
like,
that's usually on the podcast where that came from, on the Unrefined Sophisticates podcast. Starts using Jan Cones as the the alias for the stories that get told sometimes. That's just run under that moniker.
That sounds like that's one of them weird names that kind of sound like somebody might be a millionaire. Like, Your Honor, the multi-billionaire Jan Cones has just landed in Europe.
Look,
he's set to meet with the organization out there.
I should have. I hit for a lotto ticket. That's what I'm going to pick it up under Jan Cones.
Right, right. No, everything's good, man. I know we got some good conversations lined up, as we always do. If anybody's in Tacoma or know somebody out there, we will definitely be, we being the Calculated Conversation Radio Show, will be at the Boys Club in Tacoma next Sunday, yes. February 16th, speaking from, well, the event goes from 2 to 6.
Yeah.
Which Boys Club? I don't know if they got more than one out there. And somebody asked me, is it on Hilltop? I was like, I don't know, man. Serena was like, is it Hilltop? Yeah, I grew up there. I said, okay, okay. First of all,
Hella pumped up.
But yeah, we excited. You know,
that's gonna be a good one.
Getting to, you know, getting the love shown back to the show. What we're talking about, you know, more and more we starting to hear from people like just gratitude for, that the show exists, because you know, apparently, you know, people are saying they just don't get a chance to really hear shows like this. And we blessed to be a part of bringing fresh perspectives and you know, new and unique ideals. I wouldn't really say unique. I would just say, I guess our spin is quite probably different than maybe has been presented, you know, yeah, in other avenues.
And that's the part that makes it unique is the way in which it's right. being presented to the peoples.
Right.
Yeah, and then on top of that, too, taking in that anything dealing with the up-and-comings. So being able to have an opportunity to engage with the youth, that's clutch.
Right.
And I feel like we got some good dialogue. And I know that was kind of back with the up and over. I know you used to do that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So you got some experience in that realm.
Yeah, yeah. It's fun, man. I've definitely been to some boys' clubs and been to a bunch of schools. And it's always exciting because it feels like you are in a room full of people that actually are curious.
Mm-hmm.
A part of the reason is they want to aspire to be something great.
Yeah.
And so in doing so, I do believe we get an opportunity to help change a lot of the narrative, I think, of what success looks like
mm-hmm.
and what it is. And I think that's the most important thing, you know, as we go into, you know, prisons and, you know, juvenile detentions and things like that. I think that definition, you know, I always stick with that idea of just the definition of success, and that's something I definitely want to incorporate, you know, in sort of the workshop for the kids, because if we can focus on how they define it, you know, I think we can change what they do to get it.
Right.
You know, and that's really what my focus is. I really see that that's clear, you know, and I think that's where we're special at. We're not tooting our own horn, but beep, beep. you know what I'm saying? But, you know, just having that well-rounded view of kind of both sides of the fence, you know, coming from the streets and actually being a part of these ideals at one time and thinking mm-hmm. that they were law, you know, and that they were normal. And now coming up out of that, you know, sort of waking up, I guess, so to speak, and looking back and be like, wait a minute, like, that wasn't healthy. Mm-hmm. You know, that wasn't really success I was looking for. I was more looking to fit in.
Yeah.
You know, and I think talking about individual success and being able to, you know, plant the seeds of individuality, you know, you get kids, I think, a chance to take advantage of themselves, like I always say, instead of letting society take advantage of them and tell them who they are, you know. And so I like that they get a chance to see people like us coming from the streets, you know, even still dressed pretty normal, pretty casual, pretty streetwear.
Right.
But being able to, you know, show this same, you know, vision that you typically see, but giving you a different aspect of the experiences of us, I guess, mm-hmm. you know, like.
I think it's a major part of it, again, is in presentation and reflection, right? Because we mirror a lot of who they are. Why?
Right.
Because we understand that.
Right.
And I think it's also having this still, even being at the level we're at as far as unlearning,
right.
we still understand why people subscribe to these ideas in the first place.
It makes sense.
Right? And it's, some of the points are very valid. You know what I mean? That's why when having these conversations, I know I'm never pushing and telling somebody what they should or should not be doing, right. as opposed to just expressing you know, my learning curve
right.
and the people around me what their learning curve has been.
Right.
And these are the ways to kind of make these steps. But again, never taken away, because I do understand that when your identity is attached to these ideals and so on, like we talk about that often, once you're attached to that, that feels like who you are. And somebody's essentially telling you who you are is not what's up.
Right, right, right.
And that can be damaging to an ego, and usually we'll be met with someone shutting down unless they're ready to have those conversations. So again, I don't think it's a thing like we're shoving it down people's throats, but it's just this idea that if this is something you're looking to do, this is how it can look. It doesn't have to it doesn't have to go too far off of who you are. You can present yourself, but there is a mode to operate under, right? And again, it's the way in which we do this calculated conversation. This is for people who are receptive to it, who are open to it. Mm-hmm. It may not be this year that these words resonate. It might be next year, because that's where somebody's at a point that they're ready for that.
Right.
You know, you think of through these years, looking at me being in my mid-30s now and thinking that I thought at 20, I was like, okay, I'm going to change some things. And then realize, like, I didn't so much change the things. I shifted how I was doing the things, but it was just as extra, right? And having these moments because I wasn't really ready to look at myself. I was still young, right? And then getting a little bit older and getting to the point of actually having some isolation, which that's the thing that we talked about, of even the off-air conversation had to kind of do with that alone time and being with self. And then, so with that, I was thinking about that a little bit. It was like, you know, some people don't have that opportunity. You know, I think about especially youth, right? Or even you're young in 20-somethings. You're thinking of being in the house with family, right? We in here. And so having that space and that mental alone time really isn't a luxury that's afforded to some people. And it's like that's a can be a struggle in itself. You know what I mean? Because that's that constant almost no time to be able to sit and reflect. But those, you know, I mean, and that could be done with going and doing walks or, you know, sitting in the car. There's many ways to get to it, but just looking at where people may not be thinking or able to think outside of what can't be done, we're taking it a step further with these are the possibilities. I'm not saying that this stuff is easy, fair, but it's all worth it, that's the bigger piece. And again, presenting it in a way that looks like something you understand, spoken in a language that you can interpret,
that's the most powerful part of it, you know. And the you know, going back to the success part, you know, like you said, we definitely got to understand. We got to be able to empathize with that. And we know what they're doing. Like, we understand what it is. It's a level of identification that you get from wherever you grow up at, you know.
Tied to it.
That's why a lot of people do what's around them. I mean, it's pretty human and normal to do what's around you.
Oh, yeah. We group minded.
We don't always get a chance to, I ain't gonna say monitor it, but we don't always get a chance to depict it as choose if it's negative or positive, I guess. You know, like, we just kind of have to accept what it is. Some people just got wrapped into a positive natural life because of who they were around, and some people got wrapped in, you know, and they didn't really have a choice either way. You know, you grew up in a group full of, you know, free thinkers. I mean, chances are you're gonna naturally be a free thinker. You know, you grew up in a house full of criminals or a neighborhood full of criminals, you're gonna think that that's the way for a while, because in the, you know, in the immediate this is what you're gonna see as success. You're gonna see people doing fun things and great things that do these things for a living, or or whatever. They're gonna do things that you want to do,
right?
So just being able to you know, be a role model, or, you know, just be looked up to by some members of society, including the kids. I mean, we get a chance to, like you said, show them that finding some success doesn't have to look like everything you're used to.
Exacto mundo.
There's a, if this is your goal, you know, if your goal is trying to identify yourself, is your goal to, you know, have a great life, or, you know, maybe it's having money, or maybe it's having nice things, you know, there's always, you know, a great way to make that happen, you know, not just the one way that we all think is so natural and normal, you know. So being able to attack that is, I think, extremely instrumental in making some change and changing that narrative overall. Like, that's really important, because once we get a hold of that, then we can really, I think we can guide them towards themselves.
Okay.
You know, so.
That made me think of one of the books that I'm reading through, that had to do with just like different thinking strategies. And one of the sections has to do with creative thinking. And it talks about how when we're making decisions most of the time, trying to figure things out, we default to logic, right? It makes sense. This should be after one, two should be followed by three, right?
That's
the logic. And how sometimes having to step back and approach a problem creatively. Mm-hmm. How can I make this work? Instead of being like, I can't do that, I can't, I don't know, how can I make this work? And the answer isn't always just simple.
Right.
Let me step back. The answer sometimes is simple. It's just outside of what you would immediately think about. Mm-hmm. And one of the examples that like stuck in my head was this, talking about a semi that got stuck going in an underpass, mm-hmm. or an overpass, underpass, under an overpass, and got stuck. And how the crews were trying to get this truck out. It was wedged in far enough that they brought the tow truck out, tried to tow it, wasn't budging. They're going through all these ideas that are, again, logical. This right. makes sense. Right. And how they had to back away. And one of the guys on scene called his son. It was like a 10-year-old. Gave him a call and asked him, like, how would you get this truck out of here if it was up to you? And he said his son was like, oh, did you let the air out the tires? And they were like, let the air out the tires. That dropped it down a few inches, and then they were able to pull that out. Mm. And again, those things that are right there sometimes, and it's just having to to jump out of just your basic logic.
Right.
And sometimes it's being creative. It's a creative approach. And I think that when you there are some people that are naturally just have that, like we think of people who are just natural salespeople. They see see a way to profit, benefit, or whatever, and they're able to execute that from a young age. There's also people who are just great in conversation, who are right. good at being able to identify traits in people, and those people typically turn into managers or mm-hmm. you know, some type of role where they're facilitating and bringing people together. You know, we talk about people who are good at networking and putting people together because they're good at seeing your skill set, his skill set. And I think that's that ability to think outside of the box, being creative as far as how you can kind of see things. And that goes into even, you know, with some of the idea of these visions of what success is,
right.
where it there's other ways, like let's say, you know, give just the basic instance of like being an athlete, right? There's many of jobs that you can be in the sports realm without necessarily being on the field, on the court, right. yeah. you know what I'm saying? Like yeah. there's a lot of stuff that your skill set can be applied to, but it's sometimes getting this little box of thinking that yeah. people get thrown into. And it's like just if being able to step back and realize you can still get to that goal. You can still be a part of this world or whatever that lane is, but sometimes you may have to go a different route in order to meet back up yeah. at that freeway entrance, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's just wanting to be able to give that to the young, right. that conversation, that it is sometimes things are not linear, right? You got to go all over the place sometimes. It's up, down, left, right. Life is wide. They say yeah. life is short, but no, it's wide. Right. So we got to take some of that, and that's what we're wanting to be able to dump into the minds of these young dudes. And again, doing it from a place that is recognizable
right.
to them.
To them.
Yes.
And that... You know, before we continue, I know we got some topics to talk about, but, you know, and I feel like that happens with, you know, I definitely do believe that what we're doing is kind of an example of that. I don't, you know, we never thought that we would be doing a radio show.
Not at all.
You know, and it wasn't like it was a choice. It wasn't a goal, you know, right. it wasn't.
This was in none of my journals.
Yeah, right. We didn't write this down when we were little and say, I want to talk on the radio. Mm-hmm. But it's just like, you know, it's being ourselves is why we're here, you know, tapping into who we are, you know, and getting to the places and surrounding ourselves around the energy that help us identify, you know, the true character and, you know, the true values of what we represent.
Yeah.
So we didn't really have a choice to be here, you know. We just here, we built to do this, you know, and I think that's part of finding yourself, you know. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, where we come from, people don't have dreams of having a talk show radio and having to talk about these kinds of issues. It's not what really think of that, you know, growing up. You know, but it can happen, you know, and there's other ways for other people to express themselves and to find out, I think, where you fit in the bigger scheme of things. And, you know, there's a solid place laid out for everybody in this world. You know, there's a solid place that the world needs you to be.
Aye.
It doesn't matter where you want to be or where you think you should be or where you thought you were going to be. There's a place where the world needs you to be in order for it to move further and for it to make more sense, you know, to you and the people around you.
Right.
You know, and I think that, you know, and teaching people to tap into that is what's going to overall make the world a better place, and it's going to make more sense for more people. And then as more people start to do that, you know, we'll start to build a more peaceful place because people are happy within themselves.
Right.
You know, so that's really what the goal is of this whole calculated conversation thing, you know, radio show, and being able to go talk about this with the kids and try to give them some type of a leeway into their own future, I think is an amazing opportunity and a high responsibility, you know, which we accept with open arms, you know.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. Now we got some real stuff to talk about. No,
Nah. We got, you know, a couple topics. Something I was, you know, have been thinking a little bit about earlier, which I shot a question out into the socials. Thinking about just communication in general, and you know, I think I was doing some reflecting on conversations that I've had in the past where communication has broke down. And usually when I'm in a situation where the communication has broken down, mm-hmm. I try to see where I went wrong.
Right.
I don't put it on the other person. And that's like a lot of people that hear me talk and have conversations about issues that I've had. I highlight where I was at.
Right.
As opposed to putting it on the other person. I usually give the other person the benefit of they were coming from a place that I wasn't understanding.
Right.
Right? No matter how much. And that's just the way I'm wired. I'm trying to figure out on my end, how can I improve this? Because effective communication, no matter what, I should be able to get my part out. They should be able to get their part out. And even if we don't necessarily come to a resolve, there's at least both sides having given what they wanted to give
right.
to one another, or get that off of their chest, whatever that may be. And so in that spiral of thoughts that I was having, it kind of went down just memory lane, and realizing in moments of your mind kind of moving fast, and I feel like I'm usually able to come from a very logical place, very calm. But then those moments where the emotion jumps into it,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, now I'm feeling, as cliche as it is, triggered by something, and understand that I'm no longer operating with, I guess, at my best form.
Right.
This is coming out of me just, now I'm just saying words.
Right.
And tying that in with a charged up emotion, mm-hmm. what am I going to end with?
Right.
So typically when I catch that, it's like, nope, let me stop. What am I doing? Like, right. I've managed to get good, but I have not always been good at catching that.
Right.
Right. And so I see that in a lot of places. Once that, like, people talk about seeing red, like, just it's once they go, they go.
Right,
right.
Right.
And not being able to capture that. And I think there's a lot of people also who don't want the confrontation that comes with sometimes voicing your opinion, or not even your opinion, voicing your issue, right? With whatever the exchange is. Mm-hmm. There's people who don't necessarily have that, or it could be, you know, not just in a personal setting. This could be at work and trying to address a coworker,
right.
a manager, you know, whatever that may be, mm-hmm. and see people who kind of shrink in those settings.
Right.
And it's like, so it just got me going, you know, and kind of thinking of how, like, what seems to be a common thing, or trying to find out of other people, like, what their areas that they feel like they would like to improve on,
right.
when it comes to communicating effectively,
right.
with the people around them. And so it's like a couple people that I want to go ahead and give some of the feedback that they gave. And so that was the question, is what are some areas you'd want to improve with your communication?
Right.
Somebody answered being clear and concise. Sometimes I have a hard time organizing my thoughts. So many thoughts pass by that, depending on the conversation, and this is usually in regards to serious conversations, I can go on a tangent and not be as clear as I want to be.
Right.
Another person, I struggle with emotional combos. I'm not an emotional person, so it's hard for me. It makes me uncomfortable.
Right.
Someone else, I want to be better at being direct, but in that, showing compassion and empathy. Balance?
Right.
Defense is my best offense in every situation, and honestly haven't mastered even the conversation in my head to explain it. if that makes sense.
Right.
Kind of get that. Yeah. But it seems kind of, it's interesting just in these, you know, these couple comments that it has to do with the clarity.
Right.
It has to do with the clarity and them. And I think that goes back into that where that emotion is kind of playing in because you're charged up in that moment. If it's, you know, frustration, it may not, you know, necessarily always be anger. It could be whatever emotion that's seeping in. Right. Or this is just something crazy important. And you want this person to understand, and you're trying to give this. And I think that that's a big one is the lady saying that going on tangents. Mm-hmm. And for the listeners who've been listening for a while, you know, I've pointed out before in conversations that are very important, I am an advocate for bullet points on a piece of paper so that you, if this is a conversation that you're sitting down to have with someone and not just a spur of the moment, mm-hmm. that's a little different if you're having a spur of the moment conversation. But if it's a big enough, important enough conversation, then to have your bullet points so you can keep coming back, that helps you to stay on track because there's nothing like having it all mapped out in your head and then you get going and somebody responds or, you know, the engagement throws you off.
Right.
Like, what is it that might, everybody has a plan till they get punched in the face? That idea. So once you get, you know, some words thrown back at you that throw you off, then you might lose the concise, mapped out, well-articulated stance that you had. That might be lost. And so having those little bullet points, so when you're having this conversation, you can keep referring back. And that way, especially if you're speaking with somebody, you know, that may also go on tangents, you might lose the point that you were trying to get to because they've taken it, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like those parts of it. So I push for that as far as trying to be concise. Now, we don't always have the luxury of conversations being able to be pre-planned and kind of mapped out.
Right.
But I think that there is a lot of value in stopping yourself. And it's that breath, mm-hmm. even before responding. Because I think of how many times I'm like the wit. I'm quick-witted. So I'm right back. But how many times it's just a... give myself a second to think,
right?
Before just responding.
Right.
May make the other person feel a kind of way, cool. But if it's for you to be able to try to get this out, or if you realize that your emotion is creeping into this in a way that is gonna not let you articulate yourself well enough, mm-hmm. or it's gonna put you in a moment that you might just go off and go down a place that you don't want to be, and or in saying things that you don't necessarily want to say or don't mean. Right. Actually, you're just at this point now. I'm triggered and I'm just saying something to try to hurt you the way that I might feel.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's I'm now speaking from a place of defense.
Right.
And so just being able to kind of remove yourself if possible. Because sometimes it is. It's having to keep yourself and going back to the point of what do we want our end goal to be? Right? What is the outcome we're looking for?
Right.
And that's where that breath and that pulling back for a moment to gather. Because some people are good with like spinning, right? Mm-hmm. They're good with throwing stuff out that have you shook. Like, what? How did we get here?
Right.
And if you're talking with somebody that can talk circles, essentially, then you may need to back up.
Right.
But if you do have the opportunity to list something out, that's definitely a plan that I stand by 100%. I've had to do it. I do it. Even for myself, of going through to make sure, is this making sense?
Right.
When I walk through this, or am I just talking, just filling up air?
Right.
Because you can say the same thing 10 different ways, and I think sometimes that's what ends up happening is people are talking, and you're saying the same thing over and over and over, and so at that point, it loses its effect because you've just said it that many ways in different words when you could have just been bam, 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 bam.
Right.
This is where I'm at. This is what I mean.
Right. Right.
Of course, easier said than done.
Of course. Right. Yeah, that's for sure. Don't forget that part.
But trying to put it out there. But I do think that it is being able to check yourself when you feel that feeling starting to come in, and that's the part that's hard.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the part where, like, everybody, I mean, not everybody, but that's the part that most people, you know, fall short, man, because, you know, we talking about an uncomfortable conversation. And, you know, after everything that we've learned about people in general, we realize, you know, that's the hardest thing in the world for people to have a productive yet uncomfortable conversation.
Productive.
You know, and yeah, productive being the key word, because uncomfortable is not a bad thing. It's just that's the reason why it's necessary, because it's uncomfortable. You know, if everything feel good, and then, you know, you might want to worry that maybe something might not be real, because everybody doesn't know everybody like they think they do, you know, or we don't really know each other's experiences to the depths we know our own, and sometimes we think we do, and we approach from that angle, and then that's what makes people uncomfortable sometimes. I think instead of being heard, being told that your experiences are probably just like mine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's how the conversations get started, you know, and then it goes left from there, because again, that's a generalization, you know, and that's why a big part of calculated conversation is understanding just how different people are, even though we do have similar qualities and, you know, backgrounds, but you still got to understand that there's going to be some major differences.
Man.
There's things that you can't see about people.
And yeah, even how people, because it's, you know, we talked about this previously, of like, keep it 100, just be straight. It's like, nah, you don't, people don't be wanting people just to be all the way direct and solidly. Like, that's, it sounds good in theory. I get what you're saying, right?
Yeah.
But if that was the case, your feelings would be hurt all the time. And and some people, let me step back. Some people do genuinely operate well in that space.
Right.
And under those conditions, that's not a majority, in my opinion. I guess in my experience. So my experience and opinion, mm-hmm. that's not the majority. So typically people want you to be like 85%, right?
No, really,
they
though, really.
They want you to be about 85.
Really.
And that's, you know, and there's an understanding that the way that you receive feedback, you know, we talked about the book, Thanks for the Feedback. The way that you take feedback and the way that I take feedback could be two completely different things,
right?
To where I could be that direct with you, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a way you may be able to be where I'm like, nah, I prefer we have the conversation this way, right? Mm-hmm. That this is what's going to make it stick for me, right? It's more logical, or not logical, but it makes more sense when this information is coming across, when we're framing it like this, right? And we don't always have the luxury of getting that handed to us.
Right.
But we have to try to understand a little bit that if we're not effectively communicating,
right,
if we're only operating from how our logic works,
right?
That's not how it. And there's a few questions that could be, if this is a conversation that is that important, it's some of those questions. You almost have to vet the person you're talking to kind of get an understanding. And this, I think, if this was done more often, we think of a great example with E-40 and
Richie Rich.
We're having a moment right there where something was taken. They were able to come together, have a conversation,
right,
and see where they were both missed this whole,
right.
But had to gain an understanding by going back and forth and asking some more questions, as opposed to just going off on whatever handle.
Yeah,
they kept it fairly close before, and that was I feel like a great example of what conversation and actually trying to figure out where somebody's coming from and having the conversation with them in a manner that works.
Right, right. Like the conversation we were just having, you know, with Charlize and the other co-hosts, we really have to decide what we want here. Do we want to be right, or do we want to understand? Because sometimes they're not the same thing.
At all.
You know, and being able, and write this down if you're listening out there, you know, the most successful people understand both sides of any given situation, you know. They don't have to like both sides. They don't have to push both sides, but they want to make sure that they have the information. So one big part of, you know, since I've grown and matured, you know, a little bit with where I was, you know, in conversation, a lot of times when I'm in the middle of a disagreement and I can sense that there's a major misunderstanding, and people will let you know that, well, you don't understand either, you know? And so my question is always, tell me, what information do you think I'm missing?
Yeah.
What am I missing here? That's one of my most popular questions when I'm in a misunderstanding. Because I know if I'm missing information, let me know what that is first.
Right.
Let's start there.
Yeah.
You think I'm missing something. That's why you're frustrated.
Right.
What am I missing?
Right.
You know? And sometimes they can answer. Sometimes people don't really know what you miss, and they just don't really want to be fully accountable for whatever their role is.
Right.
You know? And so it's a slippery slope. But you know, the most effective people, you always want to know both sides. You always want to ask questions before you come to any conclusion, and you always want to stay away from trying to, you know, depict somebody's intentions, you know, trying to tell somebody what their intentions are.
Right.
I like to talk about the effects.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not saying what you're trying to hurt me. What I'm saying is this situation did hurt me.
Right.
And if you weren't trying to hurt me, I want to know what am I missing, or what were we missing in this situation that it make it end up like this? Where did we miscalculate? You know, that's an important conversation, you know. And as a society, we have to get more comfortable with uncomfortable conversation. It's not always fun, but it's so informative. And usually when you leave these situations, you know exactly where you stand, you know exactly what you need to do. Mm-hmm. And when you don't know where you stand and you don't know what you need to do, then everything you're going to do from here on out is going to be confusing, you know. And that's the bottom line. And the more confusing people are with each other, the more distant they are, the more upset they are, the more angry, the more frustrated, the more friendships get lost, and the more families get, you know, separate. So you got to, you know, it's definitely hard, especially for the introverts. We come from a society that typically tells people, if you tell someone how you feel, or if you bring up a situation that's you know, adverse for you, you're starting a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't want to start problems, but we must understand, whether we talk about it now or talk about it later, it's going to get talked about because it's going to come back up, and it's going to stay lingering until the information is dealt with and it's parallel and everybody understands what's going on. And until then, there's no way to move forward genuinely, you know. And so think about those uncomfortable conversations. Think about what your goal is. You know, if you don't like talking too much, or, you know, if you struggle with getting the words out, you know, see if you can write them down to yourself for a while and start writing out before you even have a conversation. Maybe write out, what is my main goal? What do I want this person to understand that they're not understanding?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe even write out more than one scenario. And maybe even write out more than one scenario. Okay, so let's say I ask to have a conversation, and, you know, I just accuse them of trying to hurt my feelings. Okay, well, you know, you can look at that situation and try that angle, and then you go deeper. Well, he's going to get upset, and he's going to argue more, and he's going to be more upset about how I came at him than what I came at him about. You know, or you can say, hey, you know, I can, you know, talk to the guy and, you know, let him know, hey, I'm feeling a certain way. I don't want to feel that way. I'm not mad, but I am confused. And I think that we should have a conversation, you know. And I'm not saying you did it on purpose. I just want to know, you know, what you were thinking. And I want you to know what I'm thinking.
Right.
You know, right. I mean, we're talking about calculating, and the goal is to keep us close and keep us together.
Right.
That's the main goal. The goal ain't for us to lead the conversation saying, I don't ever want to see you again. You know, that's really, that's typically, and that happens.
Yeah, no, definitely.
So that happens definitely all the time, and that's not even the goal most of the time.
Right.
So we got to think, what information are we missing in there? So with that being said, uncomfortable conversation, try to make it, you know, normal if possible. You know, do your homework, get your point across, stay respectful. Keep away from blaming, and let's just talk about how to fix the results.
And if you have somebody that is being open to you talking to them, mm-hmm. make sure that you're operating from a space of trying to inform and not scorn, not trying to throw the jabs now that they're trying to be receptive to you. Being open in there, because I see that sometimes where you give somebody the space, give the floor. I've watched it happen many a times. Get going, and it's like you just wanted to kind of give these jabs without doing it, talking over each other. You just wanted to direct, and it's like, nah, that's not what this is for.
Right.
So if that's the case, then that's where, you know, if you're on the receiving end of the day, you might just have to pull away from it, because
right.
clearly this person is not trying to connect and have an understanding. Yeah. At that point, that person is essentially just trying to keep this going and having a soundboard
right.
to get all this stuff off of their chest, whatever, you know, spiteful things they want to say or do, whatever that is. You got to back away from that.
Right.
That's where you got to pull back. And again, if you're the person who is attempting to calculate, you have your bullet points and so on. This can't be, because most people are not going to sit and listen to you just tear them down. No. So if your bullet points are just right. points about how this other person is wrong, most people aren't going to sit through that. Right? So this has to be kind of thought out in a way where your bullet points are more of what you feel, right? These what this is making you feel like. Right. As opposed to telling somebody that you're not, not too many of us are going to sit there get bombarded, right? So just take that into account as you're making these bullet points, that these are pieces of you wanting to clear the air.
Right. And again, having that conversation, and like we talk about all the time, but just to reiterate, because we also just talked about this with the last host, Charlisa. Just the fact that, you know, because conversations don't get calculated as much as they should, people have a conversation, they have an argument or disagreement, and a lot of times they don't even realize they're not talking about the same thing.
Very much so.
You know, like, we haven't even asked each other any questions to even determine what aspect of this thing we're talking about. And again, you guys may have heard this before, but, you know, we definitely want to keep this like at the forefront of our mind in case there is a disagreement or a misunderstanding, because you want to know, because that means the information is missing. You know, we have to remember, information is missing. You know, the idea of calculated conversation is designed to fill the blanks in with that information so that we can move forward together, you know, not separate, but together. That's the goal. Because if we look in the, you know, move separate, then there's no need to talk anyway. You know, but this for the people who want to get it right, the people who really want to connect a little bit deeper and find out, you know, what are they missing about other people that's causing these interactions, you know, to all go south. This, you know, so keep that in mind as we get on to the next subject.
Yes.
Same subject, but same, you know,
yeah, we're in the same realm.
We're touching different aspects of it, though, just to make sure that we stay deep.
So what I want to ask you, like, what's an area for yourself that you feel you can improve when it comes to communication?
I'm going to say trying to be patient when it's clear that I'm talking to someone who have no idea what they're talking about. You know, I know that doesn't sound good, but remember, you know, I'm finally getting to a point to where I'm not saying anything or doing anything by accident. You know, I'm getting to a point now to where I'm not making any judgments until I get questions and I understand first. I'm to a point now to where before I even start to disagree, I want to see if we even talking about the same information first. You know, so I don't state my points, I ask questions first, you know, and that's because I want to make sure that I know what I'm talking about. You know, and if I don't know what I'm talking about, I don't talk about it. I ask questions about it again. And so, you know, we living in this world where people are constantly talking about things they really don't know about and they haven't even asked any questions about yet. You know, and so as I've been practicing with myself, I'm having to realize that people still don't, you know, practice these tools of probing first. You know, it's just, this is how it is. This is what I know and this is it. And this always been it.
Yeah.
You know, or, you know, and this is like, and I don't know. Sometimes I don't know what to do because it's like, you know, I heard a philosopher. I'm not sure which one it was, but I seen a quote from a philosopher that said basically, most people in the world don't know what's going on. And even deeper than that, they don't know that they don't know what's going on. You know what I'm saying?
You don't know what you don't know.
And so with that being said, like, you know, me understanding that they don't know, but trying to tell me and knowing I've already done that homework and I'm not trying to compete, but I'm trying to, you know, sometimes get them to relax so they can kind of see where the bigger picture is. Because I do listen and, you know, I do ask questions. And when you ask people questions, you realize when they don't know what they're talking about, they don't have the answers, you know? And so it's like, just being more, you know, dealing with people, you know, which is not abnormal, but it's just we trying to get on this new wave of being intentional with what we're doing and what we're saying.
Right.
And so I think dealing with the challenge of knowing that you know, we're always going to be outnumbered, I think, is the frustrating part. You know, no matter how long we do this, how much we talk about these ideals and these formulas, we're going to always be outnumbered. You know, and I think that is hard for me, because in my mind, I don't think it, I just don't believe it has to be like that. But, you know, in the way of the world, that's the way it's going to be for a majority of people. There's people that listen to us right now, or, you know, that, or people in my life that I come across, they think we don't know what we're talking about. You know, they think, yeah, you're just talking too much. You're talking about all that stuff that don't matter.
Right.
They think this stuff doesn't matter. They don't, you know, people don't understand the importance of having strategy in everything that you do and everything that you say. So there's no accidents with your energy. And it is a lot of work. I agree. So, I mean, it's kind of, and that's why I'm trying not to be biased, because I've done the work. So, and I'm still doing it, you know, because I still haven't made it where I need to be. But I do see how much work it is. But, you know, like, if it's going to be, you know, beneficial to myself and the people around me and my community, then I'm going to do the work.
Yeah.
You know, that's the bottom line. I'm going to get it done, and I'm going to come in here, and we're going to talk about it.
Right.
You know, and we're going to push it as far as we can and hope that some people hear these shows and say, you know what? You know, maybe those guys, you know, I'm gonna try some of the stuff they were talking about and see what results I get. And then people come back and say, man, what you taught me really worked.
Look.
Like, people don't, like, people tell me all the time, like, man, I don't think people realize that you have a lot of the, you know, like, you guys have a lot of the keys, you know, and I don't think people understand that, like, how deep these keys really are, and what, and the reason why we're doing this, and what the overall benefit would be for everybody involved or around. Is it, these are deep benefits, you know? Man. They're good, man.
When applied.
When applied. That's like batteries sold separately.
Right. So, kind of in there, I think this, you know, as a tie-in, we got about another 10 minutes here.
That's it?
Yeah, that was a quick and a fast and a hooray.
X-ray, we need 2 hours.
One of the things that you know, I was thinking about when it comes to, like, communication and expressing yourself through adversity, in adversity, because I feel like that's kind of, we kind of lumped that together in what we just discussed. But going even a step further into, like, the idea of personal branding, and not just in the sense of you're trying to turn yourself into a business or something like that, but understand that, you know, in, you know, I'll say our 40, 50 and under of having socials and, excuse me, being in these different platforms, whether it's LinkedIn or it's Twitter or it's the Gram, you there's a brand that comes through. And understanding the interactions that you have on a message board where everybody is able to see this, taking some time to think about that. And what is coming across. And, you know, there's a lot of people that, you know, that said they don't care. I think that's the easy way. It's like, there's some care to it. I think there's many people who are able to go online and create an alternate version, you know, of themselves, and it's their way to kind of be whoever they've wanted to be, right? But for the people who are, you know, self-aware and a way that it does matter, right? Because there are some of us who are a brand, you know, an actual brand, and this translates to our business and so on. So with that idea, you know, one of the things I, for people who are wanting to strengthen their brand, wanting to help build and use these platforms to, you know, continue, I think that we're coming across a lot of people who are trying to do things similar to what we're doing. We're trying to leave our footprint. We're trying to make our mark as far as bringing the community together. And as we're doing this, we're kind of leading the charge in a lot of ways. We have some examples out there, but we're creating these paths ourselves. And one of the things that, like, what is your message, right? Like, what is it that you're trying to get out? What is it that you're trying to convey, right, with the, with what you're doing?
Right.
And that's a question I feel like to really have to sit with, because it's like your personal brand is your relationship with the people, and it's with yourself, your reputation,
right.
It's all of those parts, right?
Right?
And it's what the people get, and it's like, okay, are you? It's the funny guy. Is this the yeah. Or woman, or is it straight lace? Is it informative? Is it, you know, easy? Whatever that piece
right.
is,
right.
And is that consistent, right? Because people learn to count on you for what they can count on you for,
mm-hmm. That's
right?
True. That's true.
You think about the people that come to, you know, we think about our socials. People come to each of our pages for different things,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that is, it stays on brand.
That's right.
In person, it stays on brand. There's, you know, different things that we build up, and I think that for the people who are coming up and trying to figure that out, you know, asking themselves some of these questions, understanding, like, what problem do you solve?
Right.
And this is going more into the idea of
right.
as you're trying to go just from, like, oh, I'm online to I'm trying to really do something. Like, do you solve a problem?
Right.
Right? I think we can say that we're trying to solve the problem of
right.
miscommunication.
Right.
right.
Right. Of course.
And trying to solve the problem of being disconnected.
Right.
We are trying to change that. Right.
Of course.
You talked earlier, and we've talked about this before, is like the idea of don't let society take advantage of you, take advantage of yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
We all have something about us that's very unique.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take the time to kind of figure that thing out, it's like, what do you do that has the least resistance as far as when you're doing that thing? It's too natural.
Yes.
You know, to
yes.
sit with yourself for a little bit and really think about the times that you're doing, there's something that you do or you've done that it was like, that was a flow.
Right.
That was regular.
Right.
That was regular. So taking that and figuring a way to use that in service, right,
mm-hmm.
of people or yourself, however you know you would twist that. If you could do it for the people and it's also benefiting yourself because you're able to get something out of that, that's you exploiting your own uniqueness.
Right.
And it's like, what, you know, what can make you stand out? It's like there's a million people doing the thing, but how do you make noise?
Right.
Right?
Right.
Your personality has to be the noise that helps you to come across.
Yeah.
And that's what people typically identify and relate to and connect with, is somebody's personality.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
either it's something they identify with or it's something that they wish they aspire to be. There we go.
Yeah.
They aspire to be. So if you're giving that, then that's what your brand is putting out there. That
right.
is what people will start to be attracted towards, whatever the cause, and get behind whatever it is that you're trying to push.
Right.
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 And again, that may not be anything. That may just be you having some great thoughts and some inspiration that your thoughts lead you down, you know, a spiral of thoughts that you're able to articulate something well, and you just post it and people are able to go there and listen to your thoughts, read your thoughts, and feel something from it.
Right.
That might be your brand. You just put up great quotes
right,
that
right.
are yours.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And people are able to get something from that. That is you taking what you're able to do. There's people I see on my timeline that I'm like, they're great with words.
Mm-hmm.
They are great
yeah.
with giving, being, again, concise and
mm-hmm.
getting to it. But like, yikes, that hit.
Right.
In those right. few characters, that hit.
Right.
But again, just the branding yourself, the importance of that in all the capacity, and realize that you don't want that backfiring on you with just not taking the time to think about how people are going to view.
Right. Because your brand is always bigger than you. You know, you can't really separate yourself from it like people try too often. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's just not realistic. You know, and being able to, you know, like you said, solve that problem. Connect with people. One of the things I know that I'm trying to do with my brand, and I'm trying to prove and show, I'm trying to show people how positivity helps build a successful brand,
mm-hmm.
and the correlation between that. You know, a lot of the reason why we interviewed certain people on the show,
mm-hmm.
because their brand was doing well, but they also powered it by positivity, though,
mm-hmm.
on the same. And that goes a long way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, negativity doesn't go as long as people think it does. It just pops off real quick,
mm-hmm.
and then it dies down. Staying positive is a consistent, long time, you know, marathon type road that typically will always protect you in the end, because people always know they can depend on you.
Yes.
You know, and so because of that, you can always depend on them for support,
mm-hmm.
and your brand stays alive, you know. And you know, it's kind of funny just, you know, having, you know, my brand go from being part of the sneaker culture to, you know, being associated with just this idea of positive energy.
Mm-hmm.
That was never the goal, but it just happened because I've grown over time with it as a man.
Yeah.
And now that's when people wear that, they think I'm repping positivity, you know, and that's kind of crazy, but kind of a blessing overall. So you are your brand, you know, and
you
will always be. And
be
so
your brand.
You guys can't separate yourself from each other. You guys are married. Whatever you do, it does. Whatever it does, you do.
Yes, Lord. We're getting ready to wrap this episode up. I'm going to have the man right here across from me drop them socials on you right quick.
All right, all right. Follow the Calculated Conversation show on IG at Calculated Conversation.
Bam.
Just the way it's spelled. Facebook, the Calculated Conversation radio show.
Bam.
Twitter at Calculated Talk.
Bam.
The website, www.calculatedconversation.com.
Bam.
We are also on Google Play Store, and we are also on iTunes, both Calculated Conversation.
Yes, yes, yes. With that being said, calculated everything.
Everything you say and everything you do must be strategized. Until next week. Thank you.
This is KBOO Portland.
From 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., it's the semi-annual KBOO Bluegrass Marathon.
Featuring 14 great local bands.
The Mavens.
Mountain Honey.
Sunfish Duo.
Annie Stanonets and John Cale.
Sunny South.
Martin Family Band.
Julie and the Waves.
Jack Straw.
Josh Cole and Friends.
The Sleepy Eye Johns.
Train River.
Lillian Sawyer.
The Hill Williams.
And the Filthy Skillets.
Wow, that's a lot of bluegrass.
Don't miss the Bluegrass Marathon on Saturday, February 15th.
From 9 to 6 on KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of RX Fest from February 14th to the 16th from 6 p.m. to midnight across multiple venues in downtown Portland. RX Fest is a multiple-day festival to support the physical and mental wellness of our community through live music and community outreach. Events will take place at Dante's, Star Theater, Valentine's, and Kelly's Olympian. Again, that's RX Fest, February 14th to the 16th. From 6 p.m. to midnight, across multiple venues in downtown Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the home.